On Ash Wednesday, the priest imposed ashes on our foreheads, making the sign of the cross. This action reminded us of our mortality, that as human beings who are given life by God, at some point we will die and we will face judgment. It also reminded us that we are wounded, that we do need a Savior. They also reminded us that, as Jesus said, we're called, if we want to be a disciple, to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. So, my brothers and sisters, we have to use this time of Lent to refocus in all those ways and to remember we are called to live by that sign of the cross. Not easy. So we go back in our journey and we go to the Genesis. And here we have the story of Adam and Eve. So God has created. He created this universe with purpose, design, and goodness. He who is all-powerful gave it life. There we have it. Science can fill in all the little details, but God is God, and we look out and we see the majesty of God. This creation, though, climaxed when God made us in His image and likeness, male and female. He gave us a body and a soul. And for you young people, always remember, God gave you who you are. God gave you the body He wanted you to have. And this soul was very special because here He gave us an intellect to know Him and a will to choose to love Him. How beautiful. And then He blessed them, told them to be fertile and fill the earth. Here is marriage between a man and a woman who in their complementarity bring that image and likeness together. A man and a woman. But we go on. And we hear of how Adam and Eve had this wonderful, harmonious relationship with God, each other, all of creation. They had a graced relationship with God. They lived in paradise. No needs, no wants. And God said, all you have to do is not eat of that tree of good and evil. Because He did not want them to lose their innocence by knowing evil. Satan comes along. The serpent, the most cunning of all the animals. Why does Satan care? Remember, Satan is a fallen angel, a creature. He's lost his goodness by choosing to do evil. Perhaps he's jealous of Adam and Eve, who were made in God's image. They're better than an angel. And so he tempts them. And think of this, how he does this. First, the doubts. Did God really tell you this? Then there are the lies. Oh, no, you aren't going to die. You'll be like gods. Then there's the sensation. See how good it is? It's very tasty to eat if you want it. And what do? They sin. In their own free will, they sin. And all of a sudden, something's changed. We end up with them saying, the reading of Genesis saying that here they felt shame. If we go a few verses further, we see how they hid from God. Somehow this harmonious relationship is now shattered. The graced relationship is shattered, and soon paradise will be lost. But in those next verses, God asks them a couple of questions. The first question is, where are you? Well, He knows where they are. They're hiding. But spiritually, where are they? The relationship has changed. And then He asked them, why did you do it? Oh, here's the classic line. Adam says, the woman you put here with me, God, it's your fault. She made me do it. So he asks Eve, why'd you do it? And Eve says, the serpent made me do it. The devil made me do it. Oh, yes. And so they lost paradise. The original sin. My brothers and sisters, it doesn't stop there. Because God so loved, He would send a Savior. Because only the Savior could correct the sin. Only the Savior could restore the graced relationship. Only He could bring harmony back. Only He could bring the outpouring of grace. And this is why St. Paul in our second reading says, yes, sin came into the world by this one action, but through Christ, an abundance of grace has overflowed, bringing us into the life of God. So when we think of Ash Wednesday and that sign of the cross, what we really need to remember is that in baptism, we were marked with the sign of the cross. The priest made that cross on our forehead and said, I claim you for Christ our Savior. And with the sacrament of baptism, we were freed from that original sin, sanctifying grace. That indwelling presence of the Holy Trinity was infused into our soul. We became a child of God, a member of His family we call the church. The abundant graces that our Lord offers, especially through the sacraments, are now open to us. How wonderful! But we're wounded. We're poor, wounded victims of original sin. So we still have that weakness we call concupiscence. It's a woundedness. We don't always choose to do what is right, even though we know it's right. We don't always choose to follow the truth, even though we know it's true. We sin at times. We need a Savior. We aren't perfect. Therefore, Lent's the time to turn our lives back to the Lord, to renew that sign of the cross by which we've been marked, to truly look into our lives and bring about a new conversion. For this reason, then, our gospel, since the earliest days of the church for the first Sunday of Lent, has been the temptations. Christ shows us the battle we have to wage with His help to be victorious. Christ is beyond temptation. He's true God and true man. But He undergoes all of this for our sakes. Now, He's gone to the desert, fasted and prayed for 40 days because He's about to begin His public ministry. Who comes along? Satan. And Satan does the same thing with our Lord. Notice the questions, if you are, so prove yourself. And Satan even quotes Scripture at times, out of context, as some people do. But in all, He's giving the same temptations by which we suffer too. But Christ is victorious, and with Christ we can be victorious. So we look into our lives this Lent, recognizing who we are, poor children of Adam and Eve, wounded, but baptized, child of God, and we look at our lives and say, I need to grow holy. And in so doing, I have to deal with that woundedness, those weaknesses. So we deal with that concupiscence, that weakness we call the concupiscence of the flesh, those cravings. Like the devil says, you're hungry, turn the stones into bread. Oh yes, the devil tempts us too. You're thirsty, have a few drinks. You're hungry, eat, 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 eat. You don't feel like doing anything. Oh, surf around on the computer and so on. Oh, lustful thoughts. Oh, satisfy those. That's the devil. And the devil is always seeking us to give in. Satisfy yourself. It leads to gratification. If we give in to the spirit of the devil, we live a life of that self-gratification. And we forsake sacrifice. Don't you think that's why so many marriages in our world, 50% of marriages in the United States in 5 years end in divorce? Because it's no longer good times and bad. It's good times only. Unless I'm being gratified, I'm not sticking this one out. And so, goodbye. That's where Satan takes us, to destruction. But Jesus says, not by bread alone. Instead, our Lord says, sacrifice, have self-control. So this Lent, look at life. If there is something that seems to be dominating in this way, give it up. Fast. Purify yourself. Liberate yourself from this. Go to the second step. Satan shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. Says, you can have this if you adore me. We could call that the concupiscence of the eyes. We see this kingdom. Oh, how wonderful it would be to have this kingdom. And I can have wealth and power, commercials about myself, whatever it is. I can have all of this. But someone's got to be the idol. Not Christ the God. No, a false idol. And so we give into a temporality, thinking, I can have this all my life forever. But it all comes to an end. I think of Alexander the Great. Here he lived 300 years before our Lord. He conquered most of the world at the time, even going into northern India. He comes back into Persia. He's 33 years old, and he's dying. He's despairing because he hasn't conquered the whole world. There's more to do. And on his deathbed, he said that for his funeral, he wanted his coffin carried by his doctors. And as they proceeded along to the mausoleum, they would throw gold coins, silver coins, gems to the people, and his arms would hang out of his coffin. And he said, I want this because doctors cannot preserve our lives ultimately. And all that we have, all those treasures, are given to others. We come into this world with empty hands, and we leave with empty hands. But the devil wants us to think, yeah, I can have my kingdom. Jesus says, though, no, it's the Lord thy God, serve him. So this Lent, be generous with whatever blessings you have. Give the alms. Do good for others. Share your treasures with other people. Give of yourself. The devil goes on, and he says, Jesus, we're going up to the parapet of the temple. Throw yourself down, because it's written, the angels will take care of you. And isn't that the concupiscence of pride? I can do whatever I want to. God's going to take care of me. I can make my own rules. I can live in my own way. I can take what's my truth and so on, and God will take care of me. Oh, what presumption. So many of our Catholic politicians today have that big ashen sign of the cross on Ash Wednesday, and they do everything they can to undermine the teachings of the church, and yet say, oh, I'm a good Catholic. Presumption. Presumption takes people to hell. Hell is filled with people who presumed they're going to heaven, doing their own thing. But our Lord says, humble yourself. Do not test God. Humble yourself. If you have doubts, resolve your doubts. Believe in the truth that Christ has shown. So my brothers and sisters, this is the story. But we have to choose. Do we live by the spirit of Satan in part of our life even? Or do we live by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit? The spirit of Satan, just like with Adam and Eve, will always say, blame somebody else when you're in trouble. The Spirit of God, though, will say, recognize who you are, but go to confession. Seek forgiveness by the loving Savior who suffered, died, and rose for you. The choice is ours. So, my brothers and sisters, when you wake up tomorrow morning, look in the mirror, see that cross on your forehead, and remember what Jesus said. If you want to be my disciple, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And when we follow Christ, the end point is heaven. May God bless you.